morning. We're so glad that you are here, hopefully to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we think about the Word of God, we sang the law of the Lord is perfect. But if the law of the Lord is perfect, why does He allow pain in this world? Why does He allow that? As you think about concerning, we started studying that last week concerning the problem of pain. God is a God of love. Why does He allow innocent people and children to be killed for those to suffer with cancer or just suffer in this world for no reason, apparent reason at all? We gave concerning God's answer from the Scriptures as we studied last week concerning these points on as far as there wasn't any pain in this world when Adam and Eve were in the garden. It was a perfect paradise, and we see that they chose to sin. And we see as a consequence that there was pain in the world. Pain, Eve was going to bring forth children. We look at concerning God's Word and what it says about that. And we see that Satan tempts man to sin. It's not God that tempts man. He wants people to blame God and curse Him. But Jesus, we see, overcame every temptation of the devil for our sacrifice. Man can be saved from his painful choice to sin through obedience to the gospel of Christ. So it wouldn't suffer the second death, not to be saved from physical death, but from spiritual death through Jesus Christ, only through Jesus Christ. So what does Satan try to do? He gets many people into thinking that God's plan is foolish, as we studied from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But to those who are the called, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. And so that we stand on the promises of God rather than succumb to the schemes of Satan. And so as we think about God's answer to the problem of pain in our second part of this lesson, well, if I as a Christian concerning all my sins have been forgiven, so why does God allow Christians to suffer? I understand concerning those in the world, but suffering for Christians, that just doesn't seem right. It doesn't make people feel good, and I think that it should be whereby Christians shouldn't suffer. Well, we have an answer from the Scriptures. The whole thing is, are we going to have the humility? Are we going to have the conviction? Are we going to have the love for God's Word to recognize concerning that God allows pain for good purposes, for our good and not for our bad? Let us look at the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we recognize the Apostle Paul is writing this. He has been converted to Christ. He was evil before, and now he is doing what is right, and he is suffering for the cause of Christ, even to the point where he's about to suffer death for preaching the gospel of Christ. And the Apostle Paul tells Timothy here, he said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. There's going to be a suffering as a result of serving the Lord. Well, we say, well, you state the fact of that concerning God's Word and what it said concerning all Christians will suffer. If you are a faithful Christian, you are suffering for the cause of Christ. Why? How do I know that? Because he said, verse 12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You're going to be suffering not just because of older age, not because of the physical things in this life, but because you are a faithful Christian. You desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. Well, how can I endure through that? I don't like persecution. It doesn't make me feel good. I don't like hearing that. Well, would you rather have Satan's solution to that? And what he's going to suggest that false teachers do? Or are you going to want to hear the truth of God's Word? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, God gives us help in overcoming temptation. The Apostle Paul is writing to Christians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Right after he said, take heed lest ye fall, he said, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Verse 13, he said, no temptation is overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And notice it. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will do what? Will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to what? Be able to endure it. For some who would say concerning that, well, I prayed to God and I understand this passage, but I'm continuing to suffer. He said here to provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure through it. All crushed Christians will suffer, but you can endure through it with God's help, because God is going to provide a way of escape from every temptation. He's not going to give you more than you can bear. Did he give the Apostle Paul more than he can bear with all that he suffered in his life? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul has this thorn in the flesh. And we're told here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, it was a messenger of Satan to torment him. This thorn in the flesh is given him. But he gives a reason here: to keep me from exalting myself. So ultimately it was for his good. But in verse 8, he said, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. Three times. He said, well, did God answer his prayer? Did the Lord answer his prayer? Well, the Lord most certainly did. In verse 9, he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So somebody says, well, that doesn't sound like an answer to me. That sounds like he's going to leave me in my pain and suffering and agony. I think that this thorn in the flesh is going to prevent me from serving God. And he said, my grace is enough for you. My grace, my salvation is enough for you. But he says, for power is perfected in what? In strength or in weakness. So we would want it to be that his power is perfected in strength. But that's not the way it is. Power is perfected in weakness. And the Apostle Paul responded in the latter part of verse 9, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses. Why? So that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you understand concerning God's answer to the problem of pain as we are suffering? To recognize that it helps us to remain humble. It helps us to be dependent upon God. It helps us to remember his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And whereby, as the Apostle Paul said, do we say the same thing that when I am weak, then I am strong? Well, I don't like that answer, and so I'm going to quit serving him as a result. In 1 Peter chapter 4, are you surprised when things are going well and out of the blue you are suffering for some unknown reason? It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem just. It doesn't seem right. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Apostle Peter, writing to faithful brethren who are suffering for the cause of Christ, and you might think about new converts too, if you aren't prepared for the persecution to come, haven't heard what the Word of God said, you can see how you're going to be easy prey for the devil to take advantage of. Well, why? I shouldn't be suffering this way, but the Bible gives the reasons why we are suffering and how we can endure through it with God's help. In verse 12 of 1 Peter chapter 4, beloved, notice the terminology here. He obviously loves and cares for their soul as he's writing this by the Holy Spirit. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you. For what reason? For your testing. Are you going to just serve God when things are going well, when everything's going wonderful? Or are you going to fail him when things turn south, when things turn badly? It's coming upon you for your testing. Don't be surprised as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, what should you do? He said, keep on rejoicing. Why? So that also the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. The apostles and all those who are faithful Christians, you look upon the first century, they had to learn through that. That when these come, and very likely you can think about, like I've thought about in the past, concerning why is this happening? Everything's going wonderful and faithful and serving the Lord, and here I'm suffering through this trial. And the recognition is, the attitude and mindset I should have is what? He said, you keep on rejoicing. Notice it is concerning, that is a hard thing to do. But they remember Jesus Christ on the cross, who suffered and died that cruel and agonizing death on the cross for our sins. And that should humble us with the recognition concerning what God's word says in 2 Peter chapter 2. In 2 Peter chapter 2, in the context of false teachers, where we're going to notice concerning Satan using them. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it talks about God not sparing the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell. In verse 6, he said, and God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. And if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to who? To those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deed. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. He gives examples from the past for those who lived in wicked and perverse generation concerning Noah and seven others being saved in the ark. Here they were spared. They were able to endure through all that suffering, through all the persecution that Noah must have suffered for preaching, hey, there's going to be a flood. Oh, we haven't even seen rain. You're crazy, Noah. Imagine the persecution that he endured through for all those years. And he never quit being a preacher of righteousness. And we see that he was able to escape from the flood, which is from on all the earth, along with the seven others in the ark with him. You might say, well, concerning Lot, you know, he made a really poor choice with Sodom and Gomorrah. But the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2, you know, he made a bad choice, bad decision. But the whole thing is that the scripture says he was a righteous person. The lawless deeds were before him daily. What does it say about him? He was tormented day after day. Are you tormented day after day as the lawless deeds that you see all around about you, that you hear on the radio or on the TV, read about in the newspaper? You think about concerning these kind of things bother you, and it's difficult to endure with the wickedness and sin and evil that's all around about us. Remember concerning Noah, and you remember concerning Lot as they're brought through that time. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. And you think about concerning the unrighteous, what about them? Are they going to get away with it? Are they going to get away with the lies and the hypocrisy and the evil and the murder and getting away with all these things? No, God knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Standing on the promises of God. Are we going to stand on the promises of God, or are we going to succumb to the schemes of Satan? Well, what is he able to do early in the chapter? Well, he uses false teachers. And earlier, a few verses earlier, he says in verse 1 of 2 Peter 2, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, what's going to happen to the truth? What is going to happen to the way of the truth? Will be maligned or evil spoken of. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. False teachers, as you look upon a few verses later on in verse 18, 2 Peter 2 and verse 18, talking about false teachers here, speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. How are they so influential? Verse 19, promising them freedom, while they themselves, false teachers, are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. But that just can't be. That person is so nice. He wears a nice suit, and his hair looks nice, and he's speaking comforting words to me. And how can this possibly be? As they're slaves of corruption. They are greedy for gain. And here, as you look upon the truth, is going to be evil spoken of. My many are going to follow their sensuality because they're telling the people what they want to hear. You don't have to suffer. God's word says this. They're not going to make mention of it. And you think about concerning the idea that ignorance is bliss. Well, see that, well, what you're preaching, Steve, doesn't make me feel good. Now, we're going to have to suffer. We're going to have to suffer for the cause of Christ and not even hear concerning that, you know, you can endure through it with God's help. He is not going to give you more than you can bear. But here the false teacher is telling you, you can have freedom to do what you want. And he's going to entice by sensuality. Is it any surprise that many are going to follow them? The TV evangelist and the multitudes of mega churches and many that have lots of people following? Is it a surprise? We shouldn't be surprised by that. Why? Because God's word is true. God knows what he's saying. The Apostle Peter is inspired by God and is able to preach this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Lest you think that, well, that's only Peter talking about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the brethren there, he mentioned about those who are false apostles, deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ, in verse 13. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, for no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also what? Disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Notice here concerning Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He appears innocent. He appears, I'm only going to do this for your good. And he's so nice and he's so kind and he's so wonderful and he speaks so well. He's eloquent. By their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. This is why you're to mark and avoid false teachers. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Satan is going to use false teachers who promise freedom. You don't have to suffer. So are you going to listen to? Are you going to stand in the promise of God? Or are you going to listen to somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear? And then here in the judgment day, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Wait a minute. I've been told all my life, I don't have to suffer for the cause of Christ. And here God is just going to comfort you. The grace of God is going to just cover all of your sins. God has spoken. Are we listening? Are we applying his answer to the problem of praying, of pain, and appreciate what he has spoken in his word? In James chapter 1 and verse 2, in James chapter 1 and verse 2, you look in the books of the New Testament written to Christians, what are you going to see over and over again? They are suffering through trials. But it's as if you look at the false teachers, they aren't going to mention anything about that. You can live the good life now. The health and wealth gospel is very popular to many. And the people eat it up and they want that. And they don't want the truth of God's word, which is sometimes difficult to hear, but ultimately it's for our good when we think about the sacrifice of Christ. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, James says, by inspiration, consider it all what? All joy. Not depressing. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? Why should I consider it joyful when I'm going through trials? Because it feels good? No. No. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Did the Apostle Peter say something about that? Well, we just read about that in 1 Peter chapter 4, didn't we? Concerning it is for your testing. We consider it joyful knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Produces endurance. Here's the key, verse 4. We're going to put this into practice. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The thing is, concerning the painful trials are going to help you grow spiritually as you pass the test. But are you going to allow yourself to pass the test? Because as he continues to say here concerning here's a test, and I pass this test, and here's another test, and I might fail that test. I may need to repent of that sin because I didn't act the right way in response to that trial, but here I overcome that. And here comes another test. And so we allow all those tests, the endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Being useful what? Useful in God's service. You look at the prophets of the Lord, James chapter 5. In James chapter 5, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. It isn't just sort of like, you Christians, you're the only ones who are going to suffer. No, all the faithful ones have suffered. For God's cause, you think about the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, for the cause of Christ. Verse 11, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Now, the whole thing is that as you look upon Satan and say, well, Lord wasn't very merciful to him. Why did he allow him with all those boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet? Cause him to lose everything that he had and everything. Well, who was behind that? Well, Satan was behind that. He wanted him to blame God or curse him. But the whole thing is, it wasn't about going through the trial. It was about the outcome. What is the outcome of going through those trials? What is the outcome concerning our children who are taking those tests? You want them to pass the test so they'll be prepared for the next test and learn more and more. And so they'll be prepared for their job in the future. Passing those tests. Well, we're going through tests every day of our lives. And the whole thing is about the outcome. And we recognize and look to God's word. The Lord was compassionate and merciful to Job, because in the end was better than the beginning that he suffered through and endured through all of that. Thinking that he was going to die and thinking God is behind all of that. He doesn't have the backstory that Satan is behind all of that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, another thing, as we think about being useful in the service of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian brethren, the Apostle Paul said by inspiration in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Why? So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with what? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. As we go through afflictions, we understand and trust in God, who is going to comfort us in our affliction. And we go through that experience, and so what? So that we will comfort others who are going through those afflictions. You think about concerning what is going to prepare you for the future. When you look upon God's chosen, the one that he chose, they went through suffering, didn't they? When you look upon the examples of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and the suffering they endured, we read about them in Hebrews chapter 11. We read about Moses being in the wilderness for 40 years, and now I can't go and speak to these. I can't tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I'm not eloquent. He was eloquent earlier. He thought he was the one when he was 40 years old, and I'm going to be able to deliver them from Egyptian bondage, but he had to learn suffering. David had to learn suffering. Saul is trying to kill him over and over and over again, but he endured. The Lord helped him to endure. All the prophets, and they suffered, but in the end, we see that they're able to not only be delivered, but be able to comfort others. In verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we all suffer. We're all suffering through this. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. We don't want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. We thought we were going to die. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not what? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. So you go through these afflictions, you go through this suffering, and you truly understand what the grace of God is all about, that you're able to endure through anything. Not that God's grace is just going to cover all my sins. No, but I learn concerning the trust, not in ourselves, but in God who raises from the dead, which is what we look forward to in the resurrection. If we have heaven on earth, what is heaven for? We get everything that we want, and we're comforted, and we don't have to suffer through anything. Here's the trial ground concerning eternal life. And here we are, as a body of Christ, helping and encouraging one another. We are praying for one another. We are helping one another in time of need. We are strengthening our brethren, giving them encouragement to continue to fight the good fight of faith in the trials that you are facing as a Christian. The trials and the temptations to listen to Satan, who says, blame God or curse him. We trust in the promises of God and his faithfulness. In Galatians chapter 6. Well, I don't know about all that you said there, because, you know, I'm still suffering. I don't think it's right. And I think it's God's fault. Listening to Satan if you're thinking that. In Galatians chapter 6, what about all these evil people that are living high on the hog, living in the lap of luxury? They aren't suffering anything. They're telling lies and they're cheating their customers. And they're making millions of dollars, billions of dollars. And here they don't seem to be suffering at all. In Galatians 6 and verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to make a fool out of God. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The Apostle Paul talking to brethren here. Because the temptation is, it doesn't seem like it's doing me any good. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap, if we what? If we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, to let us do good to all people, and especially those who are in the household of the faith. Don't grow weary in doing good. The Lord will help you through whatever trial that you're facing. What you're facing in your trial, what you are able to overcome, you're able to help others. You're help others to trust and obey God, that you can endure through it because Christ endured through it for you and for me, so that we can go boldly to the throne of grace, receive grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. The power of prayer, the power of encouragement, the power of God's word to overcome, because in the end, if we sow to the Spirit, we'll of the Spirit reap eternal life. So we're doing good. We're being a light in this dark world of sin. And in the end, in 1 Peter chapter 5, He talks about the devil prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who may devour. He was seeking to devour Job. He's just seeking to devour us. We can resist him by being firm in our faith. Verse 9, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Isn't the Apostle Paul saying the same thing? He most certainly did. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, didn't he? Verse 10, notice it. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. He will himself perfect you. We are being perfected unto eternal life. Do you need perfecting? I know I need perfecting. We all need perfecting. We're all suffering. If we are a faithful Christian, we are all suffering for the cause of Christ. We can overcome the devil. We can resist him by being firm in our faith and the trust in God's word and his pattern, what he has spoke here, and be obedient to his will. Well, Satan says, hey, you don't have to suffer. Have fun. Forget your problems. Drink and forget about your problems. Do drugs. Gamble. Commit sexual immorality. Have an abortion. You know, you look at New York and what they just passed their law. Up until the day of birth, you can abort. You can kill your child. And they're all applauding death. How sickening. And truth is perverted. In 1 John chapter 1, in 1 John chapter 2, warning not to love the world nor the things in the world. In verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. You look upon all the temptations. It's coming from Satan. The temptations to do sinful things. In 1 John chapter 3, So rewrote that there, Brett. 1 John 3 and verse 8. You might have had in your sheet in verse 7. 1 John 3 and verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. Practice sin. There are those who practice sin that think that they're all right with God. Because here Satan is going to use false teachers to tell them what they want to hear. In 1 John 5 and verse 19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. People are giving in to the devil and listening to him. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Colossian brethren. He said, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. You've been saved from those things. You've escaped the corruption that is the world through lust, as we talked about in our class on Wednesday night, 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. We have escaped from the corruption. We used to live that way. We don't live that way anymore. And the whole thing about it is the wrath of God is going to come upon the sons of disobedience. Why would I want to listen to Satan and live his lifestyle? God hates those who shed innocent blood, Proverbs 6, verse 17. Even up until the day of birth. How sad and how tragic. Think that's all right in New York. And you think about the temptations to of pornography and of lust and having this maybe secret internet romance, and we meet, which is kind of like what is described there in Proverbs chapter 7. And here's the woman dressed as a harlot with a cunning speech. Oh, she's smoother than oil in her speech. And here she tells the young man, come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. Verse 18, for my husband is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him. At the full moon, he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Therefore, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Don't let your heart turn aside to her ways. Don't stray in her paths, for many are the victims she has cast down. Numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. And yet, how many give in to the temptation? Well, you know, you just can't help it. Your lust, you know, following. Oh, yes, you can. Listen to the word of God. Don't give in to the temptations, because the devil's going to have another one after that. The temptation to try to cover up the sin with aborting that child, killing an innocent child, and here not listening to the word of God. Wine is a mocker. Those who are intoxicated by it are not wise. It's not wise to go out and drink. But here Satan's going to say basically it's all right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You think about Satan and his powers and signs and false wonders. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks about them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said in verse 9, concerning this lawless one, those whose coming is in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Why? Why do they perish? Why? Because God, well, said, well, God must not love them. God must not care about them. Well, the problem is, God does love them, and He does care for them, and He sent His Son to die on the cross for their sins. Here is the truth of God's Word. Why are they going to perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. As Brett had mentioned in the Bible class this morning, not seeking her as silver and searching for her as for hidden treasures. Didn't treasure the Word of God in your heart. And so, because of that, you listened to Satan. You didn't love the truth so as to be saved. What is God going to do? Verse 11. You don't love the truth? For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in what? But took pleasure in wickedness. God is not going to save an individual who takes pleasure in wickedness and doesn't love His truth, doesn't love and appreciate the sacrifice that He gave of His Son for the sins of the world, and not making the specific application, believing and loving the truth of God's Word. No, I'd rather listen to Satan's lies. Really? If you point out concerning Satan's lies, he's not going to present it that way, is he? No, he's going to present it as God is the problem. God is the one you should be blaming or cursing Him. He's the one who created the universe. It's all His fault. No, He allowed you to make the choice, and you make the decision as to which way you're going to go. Are you going to appreciate the warnings from God's Word? Are you going to love the truth and appreciate the fact that it's going to help you grow spiritually? It's going to help you comfort others. It's going to be helpful, useful in God's service, and be perfected into eternal life. But this sounds like a lot more fun and desirable. How often did the Apostle Paul warn the brethren at Ephesus? In Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesian brethren, the elders at Ephesus there, you're to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of God, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Think false teachers. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking from perverse things to do what? To draw away the disciples after them. Here the motivation and the purpose is selfish. It's greedy, wanting people to follow them rather than follow Jesus Christ. And yet they're the ones who are promoted. They're the ones who are rich. then they're the ones who appear blessed and not the ones who are standing up for the truth. They're speaking these evil things so that disciples will follow them. Here are the problems from the outside and from the inside also. Verse 31, he said, therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. So you think about those who don't hear any warnings from God's word. They're not hearing these warnings from God's word. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Well, we're going to be left with what we see in our society today. Satan has deceived many people into believing a lie that all you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Just accept Christ as your personal Savior and you'll be saved. And basically all the rest of this, God's grace is going to cover your sins. So here, have fun. Forget your problems with all and all these things. Well, the truth is perverted. They speak evil of the truth and the one who is speaking the truth and praising the false teacher. Praising those in error. And the people love to have it so. So what are we supposed to do? This is discouraging information for the brethren at Ephesus. Why did you have to tell us this? It doesn't make me feel good. Well, we need it. The Apostle Paul, night and day. Well, he must have had a bad attitude about it. He almost wanted to get them told. He said, I admonished each one with tears. Because so many times, what will individuals do? Well, they'll judge the motives of the person. Well, he must be doing that because they're hateful, they're mean. Here, we're popular and he's unpopular, and so they're just mad and they're just not happy that they're not as eloquent as others, is not as influential as we are. Us versus them. Well, as a matter as you look upon God's word versus Satan, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to follow in your life? How did the Apostle Paul encourage them? He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Well, what is it able to do? Which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That's what it's able to do. Because all of this and eternal life isn't going to matter. In Galatians chapter 6, we see the motivation of some. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 12, talking about the Judaizing teachers and circumcision here in the law of Moses, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised. Why? Simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Some may not do all those evil, sinful, wicked things, but they don't want to be persecuted. They'll make a good showing in the flesh as a result. And the whole thing about it is that we're going to suffer persecution. But the word of his grace is able to build you up and give you inheritance among those who are sanctified. Well, what are the false teachers going to do? 2 Peter 3 and verse 16. 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Peter, at the end of his life, here, if you will, the death address of Peter. He's about to die. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he didn't hold a grudge against the Apostle Paul because he rebuked him to his face, because he said, our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as in also in all his letters, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which what? Which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. The untaught and unstable, they distort, they pervert. The truth is perverted. And to whereby it appears that the Bible has no influence, it's a dead letter, and Satan is really working. Is he working on you? Or are you allowing God's word to stand and standing on the promises of God? We think about concerning pain as a part of God's plan to redeem you from sin. Think about it, the fact that all people are going to suffer on earth, whether you're righteous or wicked. But only Christians will overcome it. There will be no more pain or suffering in heaven, Revelation 21, verse 4. No more tears in heaven. How are you dealing with the problem of pain in your life? Are you looking for God's answer? It's foolproof. Satan, he's got another plan. Here, the world, where the world is, Satan is in charge. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Are you going to seek his way of pleasure, drinking away your problems, and think they're going to go away? No, they only multiply. It only gets worse, and maybe into addiction, and maybe even to the crime or murder even. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Why keep Jesus waiting is what we're going to be singing. In the end, you'll have eternal life. Depend on the Lord. Trust in Him. Obey Him. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Satan will have his false teacher tell you that's enough. It's not enough. Even the demons believe and tremble. No, we recognize we must repent of our sins. Why? Because God has commanded all people to repent. It isn't just a matter of a certain few are going to repent. The others don't have to repent. All people everywhere are commanded to repent. Why? Because there's going to be a judgment day. Acts 17, verse 31. How do I know that? Because God raised Jesus up from the dead. He gave that as the evidence why there's going to be a judgment day. And that's why we must repent, because no sin is going to enter into heaven. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before others. As the Ethiopian eunuch did, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they both went down to the water and he baptized them. And they came up out of the water and he went away rejoicing. You can have that old person, all those sins, buried in his death. Why baptism? Why? That's where we contact the blood of Christ, according to the Scriptures. Have you done that as a penitent believer? If you're a penitent believer, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, verse 16, we see that Saul did so immediately. And he became the Apostle Paul and endured through that suffering for the cause of Christ. In the end, he can say, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is later for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me in that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. You can endure through anything that you face. But maybe you're being discouraged as a Christian, going back to the temptations of Satan, going back into practicing sin. You can repent and pray and be restored as Simon the sorcerer was. Are you subject to heaven's invitation? If you need to obey the gospel, if you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, or you need to be restored, judgment day is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready for that day to come? Why keep Jesus waiting? God calls. We encourage you to come as you stand to sing.